right. Well, amen. Let's grab our Bibles this morning. If you have one there with you, please turn to Acts chapter 16 again. And if you don't have a Bible, we do have one, about one in every pew, I think. We're in Acts chapter number 16. I did want to remind our choir members we will be having our choir practice at 5:15 tonight. I know I said 5:15 unless we say otherwise, and then last week we didn't have choir practice because we had a meeting, but we're back on schedule. Well, we're back on schedule this week. We'll skip next week because it's a fellowship Sunday. And then how about that for consistency? We'll get into a good rhythm here eventually. It will happen, and it will be good. Amen. Acts chapter 16, and as we get there, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into our message this morning. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to be gathered here today, Lord. Father, we do not take for granted that we can assemble with the saints freely here. Lord, we thank you for it. Father, I pray this morning that you would use your word and that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would apply your word to hearts today, Lord. Lord, please work in us that which we cannot work in ourselves. Lord, do the work that is needed in our heart. Lord, in my heart, I pray, Father, that you'd work in my heart. Lord, I do pray if there's one here today that does not know you as Savior, that today would be that day, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd speak to every heart here, Lord. Help us to give close attention to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. If any of you ever have the opportunity to worship with the saints at the Calvary Baptist Church in Sanford, you'll meet a precious lady by the name of, they call her Miss Eleanor. She's a very kind-hearted lady who sincerely, when you think of the warmth of the Holy Spirit, she exudes the love of God in all that she does. She's just a wonderful lady, and I know the last time we were there, she made her way over to me and said, "I'm praying for you." I didn't know if she even still remembered who I was, but she said, "I'm praying for you," and I knew she was. She's just a wonderful lady. As her pastor, Pastor Todd Bell, gets on his airplane to conduct services in faraway towns, she is one of the few that often travels with him as they attempt to plant new churches. Pastor Bell, of course, he's the one doing the preaching, he's the one doing the teaching, he's the one out front. But I know that he would tell you that besides his wife, that Miss Eleanor has had probably one of the most tremendous impacts on his ministry there in the town, in the city of Sanford. She grew up in Sanford area, lived there her entire life, and she was saved earlier in her life, and she attended church locally up until the area churches really started changing. They compromised on God's Word, and then they compromised in the music, and just things began changing. And as she began praying at that time for God to send a man to plant a church there in that city, she prayed for years with a very simple request. A few years later, she met Pastor Todd Bell. He and his wife Amy and their children had planted a church in Millinocket. That church began to thrive, and then God led them to Sanford, and they were there to plant a church. And as time went on, it became very clear that they weren't going anywhere. They were there to stay. You know, sometimes I've seen in just in my short time in the ministry up here, I've seen many folks come from the south to plant a church in Maine, and after the first winter, they head back south. I don't blame them. I mean, we got thick skin up here. Our blood's thick. Our skin is thick. Although I know I got the air conditioning on, and maybe some of us are a little cold this morning, but it'll warm up here soon. But they were here to stay. And so far, I'll say it's been about 20 years now. He's been here in the state and has helped to plant churches in many different areas. But after it became evident that the Bells were there to stay, she had them over for supper. She had a nice beautiful old farmhouse on a lot of, you know, a nice piece of land. It was a family house. She had them over. And then after supper, as they were fellowshipping, she asked to be excused for a moment. She went out back and she came back with a letter. And it was sealed in an envelope, and she handed it to Pastor Bell and said, "Can you open this and read this?" She said, years before, as she prayed in faith that God would send a man to plant a church, she was led by the Holy Ghost to write this letter. When Pastor Bell opened it and read it, he learned that she had committed to the Lord that when he sent a preacher, she would give that preacher her farmhouse and all the acreage that went with it. And now, not only did this young family, they were a young family at that time, not only did this young family now have a wonderful place to live, rent and mortgage free, this property, it was such a piece of property that it had enough wood on it that they were able to have the wood harvested, and the money in which that brought in allowed them to renovate their church building. And it was a machine shop, and they made it right in downtown Sanford. They made it into a church building, and then made a school building right beside it of an old burnt-out apartment building. This meek little lady, and if you meet her today, you'd just say, what a nice, sweet lady. Just a meek, humble lady. Had and still has a tremendous impact on the ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church today. She is an example of somebody just simply following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't think that we have much to offer, but if we simply will commit to the Lord that which we do have, He can use it in tremendous ways. We may not have two nickels to rub together, but if we will offer ourselves unto the Lord, it's amazing what He can do. This morning, we're introduced in our passage of Scripture to a woman named Lydia. She was a merchant. She was a seller of purple. The Lord used this humble and sincere lady in a mighty way. She simply offered what she had unto the Lord, and He used it in a tremendous way. Now, and of course, as we look at this passage, let's consider ourselves. Have we committed unto God all that we are? And again, he's just plowing for money. I'm really not. Sometimes we think so narrow. You know, God's not just interested in our wallet. He's interested in our time. He's interested in our effort. He's interested in us and using us for His purposes. Have we committed what we have unto the Lord? Here in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they were continuing their trip when the Lord directed them to a city named Philippi. And this stop would be a significant stop for them. God would do a tremendous work there. But there was a lot going on behind the scenes that we can take note of and we can learn from. First of all, as we notice, in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 12, we see submission to the Holy Ghost. And it's amazing, this, if you were here for our Sunday school lesson, this really does go hand in hand with the lesson that Brother Ralph taught us this morning with following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 6 of Acts chapter 16. "Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." Brother Brent was right. These words, what someone told me long ago, if you don't know precisely how to pronounce a name in there, just whatever you do, just pronounce it with authority, however it is, and just stick with it. You know, so that's what we're doing this morning. Amen. Verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. You see here, Paul and Silas had the mind to preach the word in Asia. They wanted to go into Asia. They wanted to preach the gospel. But the Bible says they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to do that. They wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit suffered them not. Here we see two Spirit-filled men who desire to do something for the Lord. They want to go and preach in these places, but the Lord said no. The Lord said no. Was their desire a bad desire? Did they desire to do something that was sin? Absolutely not. We're called to preach the gospel, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Listen. The world's greatest need is Jesus Christ. There's no political movement. There's no social change. There's none of that is what the world needs. Well, the world needs someone to bring peace. The only peace will come when Jesus Christ sets foot on this earth. Up until then, there will be wars, and there will always be wars. That doesn't mean that I'm not a war hawk by any stretch of the imagination. But true peace will only come when Jesus sets foot on this earth. The greatest need of this world is for Jesus Christ. The gospel is the greatest need. For Paul and Silas, preaching the gospel, that was all they truly desired to do. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Hey, if you're here today, if you're saved, it's because and through the gospel. There is no other way. There's no other way. Paul had a desire, not only a burning desire to preach the gospel, he needed to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16 tells us, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel." God called him to preach. God put a fire in his belly, and he simply had to preach the gospel. He had to. Do you have a burning desire to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ? God, we need to all understand this. God does not just call preachers to go and reach the world. He calls all of His children to reach the world. That's our job, not as, you know, this is not something we can farm away. Well, I give to missions. That's wonderful. We need to give to missions. We need to support missionaries going all around the world. But our missions should go beyond our wallet and go to our mouth. Go to our hand as we hand somebody a gospel tract. Well, people might think I'm weird. They probably already think that anyway, so you might as well give them a reason to, right? God has given that charge to all of us. If you're saved, the gospel is yours to go and to preach unto the world. Paul and Silas had a good idea and a good plan. But doesn't it make you wonder? The Holy Spirit said no. Have you ever in your life, have you ever had something that you wanted to do that even was going to be a good thing, and God said no? No. Sometimes God says no. Look, He's not a divine genie in a bottle that we rub and get what, "Oh, I need something right now, Lord, woo!" You know, and then He comes up and goes, "What can I do for you?" That's not the way it works. Because sometimes we think we need something real bad, and He says no. God answers prayers. Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says nothing at all, which means, wait, I'll get you an answer. You say, well, that's not very clear. Well, if we follow Him, it will become clear. And that's the whole point here in this, as we think about the submission to the Holy Ghost. We, We need to submit our life unto the Lord. When we submit our life unto Him, unto His guidance, unto His leadership, there's going to be times when He actually says no to you. You know, you may think that this job that you've applied for, man, this is going to be it. I know this is the job, and He may close that door. He may do it. Well, there may be a relationship that you can see budding, and you know, and then the Lord says no. The Lord says no. You may have a desire to do a great work for the Lord. God wants me to do this ministry. I know it, but then He shuts the door right away. Sometimes He says no. And you know what? When He says no, I'll be honest with you, it can be really hard to swallow. It truly can. Hey, I'm there with you. You know what my flesh wants to do? When I'm convinced that this is the right way to do it, my flesh wants to get a pry bar and start working that door open. I can do this. I know I can. Maybe He just wants me to work for it. When we really know, if we would simply lay ourselves at the altar and just say, Lord, I want Your way, we know that His way is not that way that we're trying to pry open. We've got to understand that. Will we submit to the Lord? Will we submit? Look with me at Proverbs chapter 3 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 3. And I these verses are very fitting. I do like to work them into my messages a lot because these were my dad's favorite verses. But they're so appropriate here. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Sometimes what we want makes perfect sense. We've thought it out. We've got a plan. We've written it down. Some people make like charts. This is where I want to be in 5 years, all this kind of stuff. And it makes perfect sense. And then God says no, and we're like, wait a minute. But Lord, I made a chart, you know. But Lord, I did a flow chart, and it seemed to flow perfectly. And God says, that's your understanding. That's your understanding. Hey, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And sometimes, I'll be honest, He leads us in a direction that initially we're like, I don't really get it. I don't understand. But God says, just trust me and go with it. Look at verse 6 here. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We can be sure that if He is directing our paths and we're following His direction, that we'll always be on the right path. We'll always be on the right path. Are we seeking the Lord's guidance in all of our ways? We want Him to direct our paths. Will we submit? Here, Paul and Silas wanted to do something great for the Lord, and he told them no. But then just a few verses later, we see why he told them no. Sometimes the why doesn't come right away. God will just say no, and we won't quite understand it. And then sometimes it's years later, we'll look back and say, I can see why he didn't want me to do that now. I didn't understand it then. I was mad at then. Now I see it. Well, here he immediately opened a different door. Verses 9 and 10 in Acts chapter 16, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. God gave Paul a vision, and they didn't delay. They immediately went out and set course for Philippi, and that's where they would eventually make it, is to Philippi. Since these men were submitted to the leadership of the Holy Ghost, they passed up two very good plans for a much better plan. You know, have you ever heard the phrase, sometimes the good things in life get in the way of the great things in life? It's true. Sometimes we get so enamored by that apple, that shiny apple that's right in front of us, that we miss the forest that's right behind it. We get so caught up in the here and now that we forget that God may have something much, much different, much better than what this here and now is. And we need to follow this. We need to submit to the will of the Holy Spirit. When God closes a door for you, you can be sure that you are not supposed to go through that door. You know, and again, my flesh, but Pastor, I wanted to do that. Well, I know, I've had things like that too. Man, I wanted to be able to think about the job thing. I wanted to be able to walk in there and say, you're not going to be able to treat me like dirt anymore, you know. But you know what? The Holy Spirit said, no, don't do that. And you know what? Hey, you know what? Maybe you, this is a. I'm going to go on a rabbit trail a little bit. Maybe you have a job that you're not really that happy with. But you know, we've got to understand that it is not our. It's not our experiences in life that should be tied directly to our peace with God. It is the Lord Himself, and if we can't, we need to have contentment in something much greater than just what we do. You know, your job is just what you do. It's not who you are. It's not who you are. I like Mike Rowe. Y'all familiar with Mike Rowe, the dirty jobs guy? And you know, all these people, sometimes people, they talk a lot about following their dreams. And he said, well, wait a minute, why don't you follow opportunity? Follow opportunity. You know, there may be an opportunity to do something. You know, I think of I'm going somewhere. I never thought I'd go in a message here. To Doyon Septic Services, the yellow sewage pumper trucks. I know, what kind of an illustration is that? Well, I was talking to him one day. He was here and doing pumping our tank, and I was talking to him, just kind of wondering, how do you get into the business? He said, well, we moved to the area from somewhere else, and you know what? We noticed that there weren't very many people doing that, so we got into the business. And you know what? I don't think he loves it. I mean, that's kind of a hard job to love. But God has provided for his family. Now his son drives a second truck for him, and there's two families being supported by this. And he realized that his job is not who he is. That's just what he does. All right? We've got to get past the idea that our occupation is who we are. God may have you in a menial job, one that you know you think isn't that great, but you know what? The attitude that we carry in that job, we can still have a great attitude. I've done plenty of weird jobs myself, bad jobs, and you know what? We can have joy. We can choose to have joy, or we can just choose to be miserable every day and come home and we're crabby and we got a ulcer developing and all that kind of thing. Let's just choose joy. Let's just choose to not be defined by the job that we have, but by who we are inside. These men, they were submitted to the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and they passed up two good plans for a better plan. Maybe that job that you were praying for just wasn't right for you. Maybe that relationship that you thought you wanted, that was just, there was going to be disaster on down the line and unhappiness. It's better to just follow the Lord. Sometimes He tries to save us from ourselves, and we need that. We need that. True submission means that we do whatsoever the Lord desires, even if it doesn't appear clear to us. Now remember, last week's lesson really was the just shall live by faith. We talked about that a little bit in the morning. Faith involves not being able to clearly see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It doesn't take faith to march down a road that is clearly paved in front of us. It takes faith to take that step when you're not sure exactly how it's all going to work out, but you know God wants you to take that step. We need to live by faith, and we need to submit to the will of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. You know what? You want the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You want you want to be received by the Lord Jesus Christ one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. We've got to submit to Him. We've got to submit to Him. Submission. Nobody likes to talk about being submitted, but we've got to submit unto the Lord, because that's the only way to peace. That's the only way to contentment. The only way. You know, the world's going to promise you peace. The world's going to promise you contentment, and guess what? It'll always fall flat. It's only through the Lord. It's only through the Lord. Sometimes life kicks you, and then when you're down, and it kicks you again, and then it might even kick you again for good measure. And if our contentment is wholly wrapped up in what's going on in our life right now, then we're going to be miserable. But if our contentment is wrapped up with the Holy Spirit of God, with His Word, with Him, then we will, despite what's going on in life, we'll be able to rise above it because we're keeping our eyes on Jesus. We see the submission to the Holy Ghost here with Paul and Silas as they went. Number two, this morning, we see Lydia seeking for the truth. We see this woman named Lydia seeking for the truth. As the men get into the city, they met a woman named Lydia, and she is a merchant. She's a seller of purple. By the way, Paul and Silas bumping into her, that was no accident. That was no accident. How did they meet her? Well, first of all, Paul and Silas, when they entered into Philippi, they did what any good evangelist would do. They went to where people were, and they began talking with them. They began engaging them. They began telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we get a different view of what an evangelist is versus what the Bible says. You know, we think an evangelist, well, he's the guy that goes around from church to church to church and preaches tent meetings and preaches in the churches. You know, a biblical evangelist is somebody who goes to an area that has no church and preaches the gospel. That's evangelist. He's a bearer of the good news. He's the one that will go and preach the gospel. In fact, Paul instructs all pastors need to do the work of an evangelist. That doesn't mean going from this tent meeting to this camp meeting to this to that to that. It means going into a place where there is no witness. And so that's something that we all should do. Certainly, they went to where the people were, and they met Lydia. They met Lydia. In verse 14, it's very interesting here. In verse 14, we read something about Lydia. It said this, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. What does that mean? We know up until that point, the only people who truly knew God were the Jews. Up until that point, things were in the process of changing. We know in Acts chapter 10, God made it clear unto Peter that the gospel was now not just for the Jews, it was for all people. Didn't matter who they were, where they were from, but that message hadn't gotten everywhere yet. And so Lydia, she was a Gentile. But here's what was going on. Here's what was going on. God has programmed into every single person that has ever lived something called a conscience. And, you know, one of the things that the theory of evolution cannot really explain is our conscience, our God consciousness. That's something that God programmed in every single person that's ever lived. Lydia, she worshiped the Lord according to the best that her conscience could show her. She didn't know about the things that the Jews had. She didn't know about going to the tabernacle. She didn't know about the mercy seat and all the different things that the Jews knew about. She just knew that there was a God. She knew around her by looking at the evidence that is all around us even today that, yes, God exists, that He created all of this. And she had a heart that inclined towards God. And the amazing thing is, God recognized that she had a heart that was inclined towards Him, even if she wasn't completely sure of what or who He was. She wasn't sure about God, and this is what God did. He sent people to her to tell her the truth. She was seeking the truth about God. God recognized that. By the way, the Lord didn't save her just because she believed in God. There's a lot of people, when you ask them, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Well, I believe in God. Well, that's great, you believe in God. That'll never get you to heaven. Because the Bible says the devils believe. Hey, the devil, all the devil and his angels, they know that God exists. Hey, knowing there is a God, that's not what it takes. Believing there's a God, there's not what it takes. That's not what it takes. The Lord sent somebody to tell her the truth. This is who God is. This is how we get to the Lord. And as verse 14 says, whose heart the Lord opened. You say, whoa, wait a minute. You're saying that God selected her ahead of time and opened her heart ahead of time? No, that's not how it works. This Bible refutes Calvinism. It refutes it. God did not select from the beginning of time people who would be saved and people who would be lost. That would mean that God created people to send them to hell. That's not our God. Remember 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. It's God's will that all people would be saved, but people have a choice to make. God sent her. What happened was they began preaching the gospel, and at that point, the heart opened up. God opened her heart. How? Through the gospel. That's John 6:44 in action. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 44. John chapter 6 and verse 44. Jesus is speaking here. If you don't have a red letter Bible, you can't. The letters aren't in red, but this is Jesus speaking. No man, verse 44, John chapter 6 says, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No person can come to the Father except that that the Father draws them. But notice what it says in John chapter 12. I'll have to look for the verse here because I didn't plan on going here. Oh, verse 32 of John chapter 12. No man can come unto Jesus except he's drawn by the Father. But look what it says in John 12, 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. What does that mean? It means that every single person that walks this earth has the opportunity to get saved. Everybody. God didn't create anybody just to send them to hell. That, you know what? That would be cruel. That would be cruel. Well, I know what they'd say. Well, you got to understand we all deserve hell and God just gives them their true choice. No, you're still missing the point. If God pre-selected people to be saved and people who wouldn't be saved, He's still creating people to be damned. And that's not God. God didn't do that. Everybody has the opportunity to be saved. And for Lydia, we see a very important point here with Lydia that she had a heart that inclined unto Him. So God sent preachers to tell her about the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember John 14, 6? What does that say? Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is one path to heaven. Don't believe this garbage that says, oh, there's many paths to heaven. No, there's not. There's one. There's many. Hey, people come from all different backgrounds, all different places in life to come to Jesus Christ, but that's where the bottleneck forms. It is only through Christ that we can get to heaven. That's why we go out into the world and preach the gospel, because they have all sorts of ideas of what's going to get people to heaven. I was talking with Brother Henry before the service, and he was talking about somebody who's a universalist. They believe, most of what the universalists teach would be that everybody's eventually going to heaven one day. And that's just not true. That's just not true. Everybody has the opportunity to, but not everybody does. The only way is through the Son. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this of Jesus Christ, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's one name, Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not me. It's not you. It's not any preacher. It's Jesus. It's not Bryant Pond Baptist Church. It's Jesus. It's not the Baptist faith. It's Jesus. He is the way to heaven. Lydia was seeking the truth about God, and the Lord sent somebody to tell her. And you know, have you ever wondered, knowing that Jesus is the only way to heaven, what about those remote tribes in sub-Saharan Africa, or these way down in the jungle here or there, these remote places? How does that work? And I'm sorry, I know what Billy Graham said. He was dead wrong. They don't just automatically get to go to heaven. No. But if they worship the Lord according to their conscience, God will send somebody to tell them about Jesus. God would not create a group of people just to send them to hell. I mean, that's terrible doctrine. That makes God sound like a cruel, vicious dictator, and that's just not the way it is. They don't just get a free pass if they're not in an area with a lot of gospel preaching churches. You know, and that's why, listen, that's why all of us here in America, we should be thankful that we were born here. If you're saved, you were born in a place that has a lot more gospel preaching than in other areas of the world. Even over, you know, the gospel has migrated west, and it's interesting that at one point, Great Britain, England, was a stronghold of the Christian faith, and there was gospel preaching everywhere, and it's from the shores of England that the gospel came to America, but England is struggling now. And they've become a place, again, that needs missionaries to go there with the gospel. By the way, America is that way now too. Let's have no false opinion. America may have been founded on Judeo-Christian values, but America ceased to be, quote-unquote, a Christian nation a long time ago. The only way that we could honestly have ever been called a Christian nation, by the way, is just because there was a lot of people here who were saved. And nowadays, that's diminishing and diminishing and diminishing and diminishing. So we see here, in Lydia's case, the truth won out. And let us all understand that the truth will always, ultimately, win out. God will be glorified in every person that walks the face of this earth. He will be glorified in all people. You say, how is that? Well, some people will get saved. They'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll get saved, and He will be glorified in that. But there's multitudes who have rejected the gospel. They had their chance, but they've rejected the gospel. And yes, it's our job to preach to them again and preach to them again and preach to them again, even to the point where they might say, this guy's a pain in the neck, but we want to give him one more chance, because God will be glorified even in those who reject Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. Everyone. He will be glorified in the perfect judgment that He has on unbelievers. And if a person confesses 1 second too late, it is eternally too late. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. That's why it's so important. We have this life to make the right decision about Jesus Christ. This life. And again, that is why, look, I know there's a major faith system that believes that you can pray hard enough for somebody who's in purgatory and they'll eventually get to go to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible. That may seem nice. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. We got to make the right decision during this life. And again, that's why we're willing to make fools of ourselves, if it need be, to get the gospel out there. That's why we need to. Have you ever bowed your knee to Jesus Christ? Do it now before it's eternally too late. We see here her seeking of the truth. Then we see something else in verse number 15, and it's a beautiful thing. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 16, we see the shaping of the church. The shaping of the church. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. What was the ultimate result of the leadership of the Holy Spirit? What was the ultimate result of God saying no to go into Asia and forbidding them to go into Bithynia? What was the ultimate result? God began to form a church right there, starting with that one faithful lady who simply had a heart inclined to God and worshiped Him according to the dictates of her conscience. He sent Paul and Silas. They came to Lydia, who was seeking the truth. She believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved, as well as those in her house. And then she began following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, because the moment we get saved, let's understand this. I know to people who don't know what the Bible says completely about this, it sounds kind of spooky. It's not spooky at all. But the moment that a person gets saved, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. We are no longer our own. We belong to Jesus Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct us, to help us, to bring us comfort when we need help, to lead us. And the more that we submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the more we find ourselves on that straight and narrow path following the Lord. And that's what we want. That's what we want to do. We want to follow Him. We want to be used of the Lord. Hey, the God of all creation wants to use you. Imagine that. I don't know about you, but I'm a drunkard, reformed, but I'm a drug user, reformed. Thankfully, it's been a lot of years. I think now, since I touched a sip of alcohol, it's been, I don't know, let me see, 12 years or so at least. Praise the Lord. I mean, I'm thankful. Well, you're so good. No, it's not. It's because of the Holy Spirit. If God can take a broken down sinner and do anything with them, He can use any of us. We got to just submit to Him. It's a wonderful thing here. She immediately, you know what? The Holy Spirit gave her an idea. Hey, why don't you let them stay with you? Because what they told you and about the Lord Jesus Christ, she got it right away. Everybody needs to hear this. I've got friends. I've got people who buy my purple. I've got people who need to hear this. Hey, stay here and keep preaching. And God used that faithful woman to be the first founding member of the church at Philippi. And if you read the book of Philippians, you know what you find out about that church in Philippi? They were in an area. They were suffering terrible persecution. Terrible persecution. They paid for their faith in blood and in persecution. But that book of Philippians is one of the, of all of the epistles of Paul, that is the most positive one. It is filled, and it teaches you how to have joy in the midst of tribulation. It's a very special book. If you haven't read all the way through it, the book of Philippians, it takes about 15 to 20 minutes. It's a wonderful book. You know, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We've all heard that. You know, he's saying that to a church, a group of people that are severely persecuted. But he has nothing bad to say about them. There's not, you know, in the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, he's trying to help them get through some very bad problems that that church is experiencing. And it's the same in other of the books that he penned. But the book of Philippians was different. And God used that faithful lady to build that church. What a blessing that is. Do you know that all it takes to make an impact in life, in the world, is one person who's fully, totally, and completely submitted to the Holy Spirit? One person. You say, what difference can I make? You know, you can make an eternal difference in people's lives. Eternal. You think about it. Every time you tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll admit, most of the time they're going to be like, whatever, you do your thing, I'll do mine. But you know what? You think about that one person that's going to hear that, and that's going to sink in. And one day they may get saved, and you know who planted that first seed? You did. You may have been a gospel tract. It may have been you telling him, you planted that seed. And you know what? Now they have everlasting life. And that can be traced back to you. Yes, we can't save anybody ourselves. Don't put that into my mouth. I wish I could save the world, but I can't. But we can tell them about the one who can save them. We can plant that seed. Ezekiel 22:30 says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." The Lord in Ezekiel was seeking one person to make a difference. One person who would stand for him. One person who would be faithful in a society that didn't want to deal with God. One person. He was seeking one. And he found none. Will you be that person, that faithful person who will stand for the Lord? Lydia was no different than any of you ladies. She was a woman who desired to worship the Lord, and God answered her prayer. Sometimes we think God can't use us. I don't have anything to offer. Like Miss Eleanor, I don't have a house I can give anybody. I'm not in that kind of a situation. But you have a heart that you can give to the Lord. When God has this, He can do amazing things through you. He can help you. He can help you to have... Yesterday, I had the opportunity to do a graveside service and for a family member of a church family member. And somebody was saying after, "Well, you just know the right words to say." I'm like, no, I don't. I don't know any of the right words to say. But I pray and God helps me. And anything good, I said, anything good that comes out of my mouth is from Him. I don't have... You listen, you talk to my wife, she'll tell you that I blather on for hours about meaningless stuff all the time. I mean, anything good that comes out of my mouth is from Him. You know what? It's not because I'm some great special guy. I'm nobody. God can do that with any of us. With any of us. He can... You say, "You don't know my past." I don't. I know my past. But God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line every time. He can take the pieces, those shards of our broken life, and He can put them together and make something more beautiful than we can ever conceive. Only God can do that. Only God can. Our job, what's our job? Just submit ourselves unto Him. Submit ourselves unto the Lord and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Follow His Word and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Are you submitted to the Holy Spirit in your life? If not, you know what? You say, "Well, I haven't been living right for a long time." You know, it doesn't matter what's in the past. What matters is right now. What decision will you make? Will you turn and will you give it all unto the Lord and just say, "Lord, here I am. I will do what You want me to do. I'll follow You." Or will you let the chance go by? Are you submitted to the Holy Spirit in your life? Lydia was. And God used her in a magnificent and mighty way. Let's be faithful to submit ourselves unto the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, for... I thank You for Your Word. Father, I thank You for examples, Lord, throughout Your Word of people, just regular people who follow You. And Lord, You do great and mighty things through them. Father, I pray that in our lives You'd help us to submit to You wholly and completely. Lord, to live life without abandon, following You. The world might think we're crazy. Our friends might even think we're crazy. But Lord, help us to just submit unto You, to do what You've called us to do. Father, I thank You for all that You do. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If we could all stand. Brother Steve. Amen. We're going to have...